Hey friends, welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast. I'm David Landjuli, and I'm here with my good friend Margaret Katzcan, who has something on her mind she wants to talk about.
I do. Thanks, David. And hello. And hello to our
Hello.
listeners.
Greetings to you in Crested Butte. Oh,
Thank
it's so
you.
nice. I'm so
Yes.
jealous. I'm so jealous.
I know. I'm enjoying a couple days around the aspen trees. It's quite beautiful here.
You're
So,
new.
yes.
You're temporary, or you look like you're up in a tree house because I can see the trees behind you.
On the second floor with beautiful aspen trees behind me. Yeah. Although still doing a little bit of work, which gets me to our topic today, which is that I had a first session with a new client, which we call a discovery question, a discovery session. And during that, we all spend time, all of us, meaning all of us, well, a lot of coaches, and certainly the three of us on the fundraising leadership team, we spend time doing what we call designed alliance, in which we try to communicate how we want to work together. And one of the things that I share, and I shared this yesterday, was that I will make requests and possibly offer challenges to my client, and that she's always welcome to say yes. She can also say no, or she can give me a counter offer. You know, she can say, I won't do that, but I will do something different. And David, she was so su surprised almost at being offered these choices. And I just thought, well, you know, aren't they always choices? Aren't they always choices when somebody asks you to do something? And so that was what we wanted to talk about today. Do you think it's always a choice, David?
Well, that's a good question. Michelle and I were recently training a group of leaders in an organization here in Florida not too long ago, and we were having this very discussion. And there's a distinction to be made. So the answer is, do you always have those choices? Yes, if it's truly a request that you're making and not a demand or an order. Because this team was like, well, what do you mean that they can say no? Like somebody who reports to me can say no. They can't say no. And I'm like, oh, really? Then it's a demand. So why don't you
Right.
just say it? I demand you to do this. See
You must
that?
see this. Yeah.
Well, then you don't have a choice. But in the world of, in the world, in the world outside the military or some other strictly hierarchical structure, even in the military, you do have choice in some circumstances, especially on leadership teams. And so this is a leadership podcast. It's very rare that you're going to say to a colleague on the leadership team, make a request and like you expect that they'll just say yes every time.
Excuse me. I like the idea of a counter offer. I think that's where people kind of, you know, when I talk about this in a discovery session, that's where there's the pause. Like, wait, what? You know, that's where there's that moment. Oh, I can do a counter offer. You know, which might be, if you're speaking to a colleague, it might be, yes, I will do this, but I can't get it done by tomorrow. I need a different deadline. That would be an example of a counter offer.
So one of the things we do is train leaders, like when they make requests, to remind subordinates when they like if you're on a team, you're on a leadership team and you have people report to you. I mean, you make requests all the time. I mean, this is just how, I mean, even on our team, Margaret and Michelle and I make requests of each other all the time. And we're so trained in this, we know that we can say yes to it, we can say no to it, or we can make a counter offer. But if they're like, what? You mean I can make a counter, like you have people reporting to you, you might remind them, like if you make a request, you might remind them, like you can say yes to this, you can say no to it, and no means no, or you can make a counter offer.
Yeah, that would be a jaw-dropping leadership moment for a lot of people, I think.
Oh, it would be pretty raw. Yes. Jaw dropping. Oh, that's a tough one for me to say. Jaw dropping, as my jaw drops as I say it. I had to really accentuate that. It will be really jaw-dropping for some of the people that report to you if you start saying, oh, by the way, you can say yes to this, you can say no to it, or you can make a counter offer. Then it truly is a request and not a demand.
Yeah, I think this comes up a lot as a great skill in a personal relationship too, with families and spouses and partners when somebody asks you to do something. I think if you always say yes, that's the pleaser, right? And then resentment can build up and things can go not well over time. The
You always say
knee-jerk,
no, that could be the
yes and
judge.
no. That doesn't go super well either.
Right.
Yeah.
So
But when
counter offer
somebody
is
If somebody makes a request, let's, get what would happen if you gave yourself permission to really think about, am I a yes to this? Am I a no to this? Or am I available for some but not all of this? And how do I communicate that back?
It also gets into the superpower. It touches upon this counteroffer thing, touches upon our superpower called innovate power in our PQ coaching program. So what do I mean by the innovate power? It's a yes and game. So the counteroffer has yes, and I'm making a counteroffer, and it looks like I'll do most of that, but I just won't deliver it on and I won't deliver it on that day. I propose I deliver it on this day. Now, the requester, can they make a counteroffer to your counteroffer?
Yeah, I don't see why not. Seems like at this point it's a negotiation.
Yeah, that's right. It does become a negotiation. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it opens up space. I think when you frame your requests, even with teammates on your leadership team, or whether it's subordinates that report to you in the organization, when you frame your requests as requests, that is to say, person you're requesting actually has a choice always, if it's a request, to say yes to it, yes, I will do that, no, I will not do that, or kind of a yes and or a counter offer, I'll do it, and add whatever you have to add to it, you know. Or it
Yeah.
could be like, no, it could be a no, and I'll do this instead.
Right. Yeah, I
That's a
won't do
no
that.
and. I just made up a new game.
A no and. Is
A no and.
that the same as a counteroffer, David, or is that different from a counteroffer?
I think that's a counteroffer.
Yeah, so no and is a counteroffer.
No and. We
Instead
just
of
created a new
no, there's
improv.
no period, as in, I'm hell no, I'm not doing it. And
Right,
then there's
right.
no, and I will do something
And
different.
I'll do something different. Yeah. And
Yeah.
you can, here's the other thing that people don't get. This one really triggers people. You don't have to give a reason for when you decline something. If it's truly a, you have the choice to say no, you don't have to give a reason for your no. You don't. Now, is it polite to give an a reason? Yes. Does it help, justify your no? Yes. Do you have to give a reason? No, you don't. You could just say, oh, no, I declined. Thank you, though.
I think it's triggering to people who are the ones who are saying no, who are thinking, no, I have to give a reason. I have to tell them why.
It's triggering for both.
Or both. Yeah, that's what I
Right.
think too. But
Right.
if you
So, in
really
other
think about
words, go
when you
ahead.
give
Yeah.
somebody a reason, like how often are you being 100% honest with what the reason is? Not all, I mean, I don't think most people are being 100% honest when they give a
Well,
reason of why they're canceling.
if you said this, no, and the reason is it's a no, then that would be completely honest.
That would be honest. Triggering, probably, but honest.
I
Yeah.
think both people get triggered in this because I think that if you're the person making the request and somebody says no, and you don't get a reason for the no, that you could take that personally because you just don't know the person's reasons. But if you truly, this is the hard thing, if you're really giving people choice to say yes, no, or make a counter offer, then they don't need to give you a reason for their no. Because do they give you a reason for their yes?
Not so often, right? Yeah.
So there, it's, I think that I do think that I recently said no to someone and made a counter offer, but I didn't give, I had a whole story behind my no, which I shared with you before we got on the podcast. And then I thought about it, like, okay, there's a whole story as to why I'm, you know, the why I'm saying no to this request. And I was like, does this person really need to know this whole story? Like, not really. It's me like, wah, 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 you know, just like it. No, I can't do that, but here's what I will do.
Yeah. And how was it received?
I don't know.
Oh, still
This was done by
TBD.
email. This was done by email. So I also thought it probably best to talk to this person about it. But it involves other people in the organization. So I thought it best. Again, you got to think through how you're saying no and the
Yeah.
impact it has. But I also knew that my no was going to be passed on to the other people involved with this request. So I wanted to put it in writing because otherwise it could have been messed up in the translation.
Right. Yeah. I'm
Anyway.
thinking about, this, we're sort of have been speaking a little bit to leaders where it might be an integrity for them to be clear that when they're making a request, the recipient of the request has these options. But what about for the people on the other end, who maybe work for bosses who make requests where really it is a demand? Do you think there's, how do they speak that or clean that up or
Oh,
change the
well,
dynamic a
we
little bit, do you
certainly
think?
encourage. So, in our leadership training, you know, Margaret, that we encourage leaders to make very few demands and frame things more as requests because we think that it creates for a more healthy, happy, fulfilling environment for people to work in when they know they really have a choice. Now,
Yeah.
that said, if you are listening to this podcast and you work in an organization where maybe that hasn't been the culture, and you want to experiment, you could say to your boss, "Well, is this a request or is it a demand? Like, do I have a choice here? Could I give you a counter offer?"
Yeah,
Like
I like that.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd be
And at least you get
surprised.
clarity.
Right. No, you just have to do it then. Okay, well then now you know the culture you live in. But in our experience, many organizations we work with, the fear, there's a fear, especially again, this I'm talking to leaders in the audience now. There
Yeah.
is a fear among your subordinates that if they say no to you, there will be negative consequences for them. Okay? Because of the hierarchy, because of the power inherent in a boss-subordinate relationship. So as again, I'm talking to the folks who are reporting to them in the audience. If you make it very clear, to the people who work for you, that they can say yes, no, or make a counter offer. I mean, then they will, and you'd be surprised at what the counter offers come at you. And this is like where the creativity can come in.
I feel like one of the places that this seems to come up all the time, both when I worked at the Community Foundation on the staff, but also with the executive directors that I coach and consult with and work with, is when a board asks for, an extra report or a this, right? That's the place where there seems to be a lot of heat in the space where, maybe one board member, contributes like, hey, it'd be really great. Like, could we get a report on this, 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 and this? And suddenly, the executive director comes to me and says, that's 7 hours a month for me to generate that report. Like, I don't know what to do with that. So I think
Well,
that's
I think
complicated.
it can be complicated. You know, we more and more Michelle and I work with a board here in Florida. You and I may get an opportunity to work with a board in Colorado. More and more, our training with board members includes this conversation around requests, and that includes with the executive director, president, or CEO, whatever the title is. Like, board members also, because you got 9, 10, 5, however 20 people on the board if you're a big university, and all these helpful suggestions or requests, like, people, you're making work for people, and they should be, my opinion, free to say no or make a counter offer. Now, if they do say no, certainly I think in that context, if you're the executive director and a board member and you're sitting in the board meeting, you might want to give a reason why you're saying no to this. And the reason can't be that's a stupid request. No, that would not be a good answer.
Right. And maybe it's a private conversation with that board
Maybe it is
member
a, maybe it
rather.
is. No, I mean, I think you got to be very careful as a board member if you're listening to this podcast about your requests, because, again, there's a power dynamic going on between the board and the executive director. And are they going to say no? Probably not, because, their livelihood depends upon, them having a good relationship with you. Even though that request may take hours and hours and hours and hours of staff time and yield very little useful information, in my experience.
I feel like if you give space for there to be a counter offer, then you give space for maybe somebody, the executive director or CEO, to respond by saying, could we maybe not do that report, but could I get clear on what specific information you really, really need? And then maybe we could, do something different to get you the
The
information
counter
that you
offer opens up.
need.
It opens up that conversation. And instead of just saying yes, like, if you open up a conversation, like, oh, well, counter offer, we can get you this report. Would that be helpful? Well, not exactly. Okay, what is it that you're looking for exactly?
And I think conversely, if you are supervising somebody and they say no, I think it might be okay to say, I hear your no. Could we brainstorm on how else to get this done? Right? To ask them to help you solve the problem still, or who else might be a person to do it, right? I mean, do you think that would be an okay thing for a leader? I feel like it would be.
I do. I do. I just think that if you start to play this game, and I'm using the word game, I mean, using this structure, yes, no counter offer, then if you have a demand, like, this must be done by this date and time, then, and they say, well, can I counter offer? Say, no, not on this one. It has to be done,
To just own up to, like, this is demand. This really isn't a request.
Exactly. Instead of playing this game, like, because, it could be a slippery slope. Like, you might give people the space to say yes, no counter offer, but in reality, you might say this, but in reality, you're still demanding, you're still expecting them to say yeah. You have to be really in integrity around this.
Absolutely. Let's not
But
create an
yes, if it's a
illusion that
demand,
something's a request when really it's a demand.
when it's a demand, just be very, very clear. Like, oh no, this has got to be done. The board is meeting, they have requested this. We have to produce it, and the board's meeting, and the executive director needs it on his or her desk by, tomorrow morning. So, yeah, we're gonna have to get it done. I'm sorry, I wish we had another choice, but we don't. So, I'll give you whatever support you need. So, anyway, well, this is something we do with our own clients, as you mentioned, in coaching. But it is something we train in our trust, candor, and conflict program for leadership teams because, and there's a big aha, and we also do that program with boards. There's a big aha when people realize they can say yes to something, they can say no to something, or they can make a counter offer. It just creates so much trust and so much space and so much good relationship. I mean, it's just amazing.
Great. And we'll put a link in the show notes to that program if anybody's interested in learning a little bit more about having their board or their leadership team do that work. It's kind of magical.
And if you'd like to speak with us individually about it, reach out to one of us and we're happy to share our experience. And otherwise, just go start experimenting with it. You
Yeah,
know?
see how it goes. That's right. Something to try at home. Maybe the next time you make a request, whether it is of a work person or again somebody in your personal sphere, try this out. Give them permission to say yes, no, or make a counter offer and just see what happens.
Yeah, especially in your family relationship with your children. Oh man. Wow. Amazing
Yeah.
what can happen. Yeah.
Right. But
All
don't
right.
pretend that it's a request when it's really a demand because that reduces trust rather than building
That's
it.
right. Yes. And that's a helpful reminder. If it really is a demand, then say this, no, this is a demand, you know. But
This
if you
has to
set up the
happen.
structure, yeah, this has to happen.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're in a you become out of integrity and it destroys trust. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's a little bit more nuanced way of looking at this than we probably thought we were getting into today, Margaret. Huh?
That's true. But I think it's a great construct to open up some creativity and some trust in relationships.
Absolutely, and then look, in modern organizations. There's a lot more room for this kind of request structure, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, go put it into practice. Take care, guys.